Coming up on Money Bites by Smart Money People.
I'm getting very out of breath, and I don't understand why this is necessary.
That's the largest generation in history, and they're just starting to have enough excess income to start saving and investing now.
Bring on the Skitter World Cup.
I just caught on to what you were saying.
Really interesting, because I think they've been a complete game changer in lots of ways, I think.
Now, if you are selling on my socks, I have to warn you about a recent diagnosis from my podiatrist.
Welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People.
Hello and welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People. This week, we're bringing you a special compilation of our favourite moments of the year so far. From prank calls, grilling big cheeses, and of course, Skittlemania. It's been a tremendous start to the year for the Money Bites team. So first off, we have Phil Andrew, the CEO of StepChange. Phil joined us to discuss who can help you get out of debt. Let's hear what he had to say. Free Trade was kind of the first fintech to really tackle stocks and shares investing for investors, whether they're pretty new and novice or kind of relatively sophisticated. The market's getting a lot more competitive. We're always seeing new players jumping or getting ready to jump in. How do you think the market's going to change over the next year? And what does Free Trade do to make sure that it stays ahead of the pack?
Yeah, so I see the landscape as kind of a new wave of investment companies taking on the incumbent industry that has been there for maybe the last 20 years and hasn't really changed. I don't see, when people always ask me about our competition and more people doing what kind of what we're doing in an app, I don't see that as the big competitor or the big challenge. It's more educating the guys or the people that are still with Hargreaves Lansdown or whoever else, they're the biggest one in the UK right now. But more importantly, actually growing the market itself. So you asked me a question earlier about people investing for the first time, and that's exactly what we're seeing. So it's not the case that we're trying to take a piece of this pie. We really are making it much bigger. And you look at our demographic, and our average age, as I said, is around 30. So that's your so-called millennial generation. That's the largest generation in history. And they're just starting to have enough, excess income to start saving and investing now, because you kind of go on that journey. So you could call it the investing ladder, similar to like the housing ladder. They're just getting on it now. And we're helping them invest for the first time and growing that market. So I think any time that you're seeing in the news or on podcasts or whatever talking about investing, I think that's a positive thing. And it's only going to kind of lift everybody up if we can get investing to be something that everyone just does. So everyone has a bank account. Everyone should have an investment account too, at least if you're over the age of 25 and you start thinking about your future.
Good afternoon, Cash Home speaking. How can I help?
Hello. I'm currently standing on one of your cash machines and I'm very confused. It's asking me to check my balance. I'm standing here on one foot looking right like a right buck. I've never had great hand-eye coordination, but I don't understand the correlation between me being a balanced man and being able to withdraw cash.
What do you mean?
It's asking me to check my balance, so I'm standing here on one leg, seeing if my hand-eye coordination will keep me stood like a pole, and I'm getting very out of breath, and I don't understand why this is necessary.
I just caught on to what you were saying.
Well, can you please explain the correlation? It's very confusing.
It's asking you to check the balance of your account.
What are you? I'm going to have to explain, I'm afraid.
So the balance of your account.
Oh, not my balance.
No, the balance of your account, your balance.
I must look like a right buck. Oh, God, how embarrassing. Wait till I tell Meredith later. Oh, bloody hell. Well, thank you very much.
No problem.
Oh, look at that, £400. Okay, well, thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.
Next up, we have Adam Dodds, CEO and co-founder at Free Trade. With many more online investment services set to launch, how will the market change?
So we have a really rigorous process. So the first thing we do is get a base assessment of what their financial situation is. So there's no getting away from the fact that when you are brave enough and take that step to come to Step Change and say, I need some help, we need a lot of information. We need to know who you owe money to, what your income is, your finances are integrated with a partner or someone else. There's all sorts of things we need. So we get that done as quickly as we can and as painlessly as possible. And what that does is it gives us a really good feel for how much trouble are you in. Now, the first thing I'd say is our most common reaction when somebody rings in is, we really wish you'd come to us a year ago. It's almost a uniquely British thing that we don't talk about money. Quite often we see individuals who haven't even told their partner about their financial difficulties. So when we've got that base data, and we do that in two ways. We do it online. So a lot of people don't want to talk about money, and we get that. It's absolutely fine. So you can go online and do everything online and get that assessment without having to talk to an individual at any time of a day or night. Go on to stepchange.org, look at debt remedy, and go through that process. When we've got all of that data, it gives us a sense of, do you have a little bit of a surplus? Do you have no surplus at all? Do you have any prospect? Is anything going to change in your life that might make things a little bit better? And we take all of that, and it's built into our internal systems into a very sophisticated algorithm, which we've been working on for many years, that says, given your circumstances, these are the things. Either you're fine, which is rare. Maybe we need to put you on a repayment plan, a debt management plan, or there might be something more extreme we need to do, like individual voluntary arrangement, bankruptcy or whatever. And the things that we can offer to individuals varies depending on whether you're in England and Wales or Northern Ireland or Scotland, because things change.
Next up, we have an astounding edition of Skittlemania. It was James Herbert, founder and CEO at Hasty, who blew us away with his chopstick prowess. For any new listeners, Skittlemania is a staple of Money Bites. It's a game whereby our guest is challenged to transfer as many Skittles as possible from Cup A into Cup B, whilst answering some of the silliest questions the Smart Money People team can muster. So make sure to subscribe to see if any future contenders can break James's staggering record. Let's see if James can seize the Skittles and chart the way to the top of the Money Bites leaderboard. James, your time starts now. What's your favourite coloured Skittle?
Blue.
There's already two Skittles in. This is an incredible, incredible start. Do you have a favourite James from history?
James Bond.
What's your favourite spread to put on a slice of toast?
Honey.
What's your favourite boy band?
Boyzone.
There's a lot of Skittles pinging and we are 25 seconds in. How many times in your life do you think you've sneezed?
33 million.
How many Skittles do you think could fit into Wembley Stadium?
33 million.
33 million. We're 35 seconds in. There's a phenomenal amount of Skittles moving from the cups. This is crazy. Name four American states.
Washington, New York, California, and Alaska.
If you had the option, would you rather be a bird or a fish?
Bird.
Do you ask for a knife and fork when given chopsticks at a Chinese restaurant? Wait, let me answer that. Clearly not. Clearly not. What would you make as your main dish on your night of come dine with me?
Fish.
Just fish?
15
seconds left, James. 15 seconds left.
15 seconds left. I will have a steak tartare.
Steak tartare. What would you rather win, an Oscar, Nobel Prize, or the World Cup?
I want to say the Nobel Prize, but probably the World Cup.
World Cup. And your time, stop. All right. Now, I think we've had a pretty phenomenal effort. Eddie, can you do the count for us, please?
Well, it's tough because he finished the cup once, then we had to refill.
So how many was in the cup?
There's 25, so that is, and there's four left, so that is 46.
46 Skittles from James from Hasty. Look, James, thank you for coming in. Thank you for smashing the Skittle challenge. No one wants to do it anymore. And we look forward to following the progress of Hasty.
Bring on the Skittle World Cup.
Good morning, through to Interactive Investor. My name's How can I help?
Hello. I'd like to inquire into your subscription service as it pertains to our socks and shares.
No problem. Could I start by taking your account number, please?
I'm afraid I'm not an existing customer.
Oh, my apologies. So what is it I can do for you, sorry?
So as I understand it, based off the literature on your website, it's $9.99 a month, and I get access to your library of 40,000 socks. Is there a limit to how many socks I can purchase in a given week?
No, absolutely not.
I see. And do you do all 40,000 socks in a size 9? I'd rather you did, as I have the day off booked off today to peruse your library. I'm looking for something, Egyptian cotton, elastic trim, something suitable for squash on Thursday, but also the town hall soiree on a Friday. Do you have anything that fits that kind of profile?
A size 9? So I'm not too sure. Do you mind if I just go and double check that?
Yeah, not a problem.
Hi there, thanks for waiting.
Hello.
Sorry, so a size 9 did you say in the stock?
Yes, I wear a size 9 sock.
Sorry, so I'm not sure I quite understand the question.
Yeah, so what I was wondering was, I've booked today off because I need a mammoth pair of new socks, and I was told that you sell socks and you specialise in socks. You have a library of 40,000. There's a subscription service where you will send them to me. You also do a monthly free trade, I hear, where I can have a pair of old socks for some of your socks. Now, if you are selling on my socks, I have to warn you about a recent diagnosis from my podiatrist, but that's by the by at this point. But I was just wondering if when I can get started trading socks, as I was told your firm do.
So it's not socks, unfortunately. It's stocks, like stocks and shares.
Stockings? No, I don't want stockings.
No, as in shares in a company, sorry, sir.
Shares in a company? Look, this isn't getting me where I need to be today, I'm afraid. Look, I'll try one of your competitors.
Apologize.
Maybe the New York Sock
no
Exchange.
No problem, best of luck.
Bye-bye.
Next up, it's Robert Kelly, CEO of ABCOL, the Association of British Credit Unions Limited. Robert joined us earlier this year to talk about the staying power of credit unions in the UK.
So as he talks about credit unions, they've been around for a long time, and there's a lot of them. You talk about hundreds of them today. Some are really pretty small and largely reliant on volunteers to deliver services, and even the bigger ones with full-time teams and their own branches are still kind of relatively small. But whatever the size of credit unions and whatever their location, why do they exist when there's so many different type of financial firms out there? What's the role of credit unions?
So I think you know, you're absolutely right in terms of the level of competition that's out there in financial services. I think the distinction with credit unions is their ability to be a responsible lender. They are focused on ethical finance. They are focused on representing their owners, who are members. So the ownership structure is different. They have members in mind, not external shareholders or stakeholders in that sense. And I think they pride themselves on promoting the credit union ethos and difference around safe savings, encouraging a savings habit, and also then access to credit at affordable prices and done in a responsible way. So I think that would be the main difference. And obviously credit unions have a common bond, which is the field of membership. And that tends to be a real tie-in in terms of members feeling they are part of a community or perhaps from a workforce as well. So there's some real key differences in terms of the structure and how credit unions operate that would be a unique selling point in that sense.
And largely credit unions offer communities the ability to save in small chunks and to access loans, again, in relatively small chunks at lower rates than they would be able to access if they were going and looking at kind of the high-cost short-term credit market. But to what extent does the message about credit unions just get drowned out by the enormous marketing budgets of kind of online lenders that are much bigger?
Yeah, I think it's a real challenge for our sector in the sense of the budgets that we have in terms of marketing and comms and promoting the credit union difference. We are constantly asked at ABCO about how we can try and get that message more obvious in the marketplace and for consumers that haven't been convinced about a credit union service so far. So it is a challenge, but nonetheless, I think we are very excited about credit unions looking at transforming their technology offering and making sure their services and products are more accessible and promoting that credit union difference, and hopefully a wider demographic will be convinced that it makes sense. So whilst there's challenges in terms of getting the message out there, once people understand it and are convinced about the merits, then they tend to be very loyal customers, and that makes a real difference.
And next up, with fintech increasingly a part of our daily lives, the Money Bites team are here to give you a fintech history lesson. So what is fintech? Fintech is the application of technology designed to make financial services better. It may sound like a frighteningly modern phenomenon built around mobile phone apps or slick metal cards, but fintech has made an impact on the world before, and it's doing the same today, just at a much faster pace.
Let's start in the 1960s.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off!
If you'd been asked to point out a technological breakthrough during this time, you wouldn't be blamed for pointing to the moon landing.
ABC News presents the flight of Apollo 11, beginning 30 hours of continuous coverage of the lunar landing.
But did you know that same decade saw the invention of ATMs and the establishment of the NASDAQ, the world's first electronic stock market?
Now, just as Neil Armstrong took one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind in 1969, perhaps the same could be said for the evolution of online banking. In 1983, in our very own backyard, the Nottingham Building Society, former guests of the Money Bites podcast, were the first financial institution in the UK to offer access to online banking.
We're the Nottingham, and we put you first.
Call now or visit thenottingham.com.
However, it wasn't until the late 90s that the internet started to break into the masses, with usage increasing tenfold between 1995 and 2000. In 1999, Egg tapped into this trend, becoming the first internet-only bank in the UK. Meaning its customers no longer needed to wait in queues or worry about branch closing times.
At the same time, computer chips became exponentially more powerful, smaller, and affordable, helping to power much of today's fintech innovations. Mobiles have become as capable as desktop computers. Snake moved from 2D to 3D. And Apples and BlackBerrys suddenly entered the wish lists of consumers across the globe. By 2008, 17% of us owned a smartphone, increasing to more than 80% today.
Rapid smartphone adoption and high-speed internet access meant financial firms were no longer tied to the high street. Bricks and mortar ceased to be a barrier to entry, introducing a new era of firms willing and able to challenge the status quo. And challenge the status quo is what consumers wanted. The Great Recession leaving many disenfranchised with the behemoths of Canary Wharf. Unhindered by legacy systems and slow-moving corporate structures, firms such as Starling and Monzo quickly tapped into the minds of consumers with app-only models that focused on the customer experience, an approach that nodded to the successes of Silicon Valley.
Today, fintech is more than just a slick app, with technologies such as blockchain and open banking disrupting the way firms share information, make decisions, and develop products.
Fintech is also gaining an increasingly global dimension, with some of the most notable investment and innovation coming from mainland Europe and China.
It's fair to say that fintech is increasingly changing how we interact with our finances, changing the ways that we pay, access our money, and even invest. And what's more, it's not over yet. Greater banking competition, more innovation, and rising consumer expectations will add even more fuel to the fintech fire. And finally, it's Angela Clements, CEO of Fair4U. Angela joined us earlier this year to talk about the great work Fair4U are doing around a really challenging area. And when we talk about the last few years, it'd be a bit of an amiss to not talk about Wonga, right? The one-time giant payday lender, obviously now no longer with us. It's often cited as the UK's kind of first real kind of fintech online type business. Mm. And it made accessing cash really easy and probably, I think, changed the way consumers think about money. What do you think the consequences are of kind of more online money lending, be it kind of short-term loans or, you know, more retail finance focused stuff like Klarna? And do you think, you know, that is changing the way consumers think about credit for the better or for the worse?
Really interesting, because I think they've been a complete game changer in lots of ways. I think it was really illuminating. And I mean, I go back to the market research that we did, which we revisit regularly. But the market research we did was so astonishing to me at the time because I hadn't really noticed it. I'd come out of banking and I'd seen all this high-cost credit grow. But the ones that I'd really been most aware of were the ones in my high street, in my town, in my city, in my face, really, is how it felt. And actually, when we did all of our market research, originally we were looking at being a concession in stores, we were looking at high street presence, we were looking at that, and every single one, without exception, of the ladies we interviewed, and we interviewed many at in-depth and a professional interviewer, and every one of them held up their smartphone. That was how they wanted to receive information, that was how they wanted to know where they were, that was how they wanted to understand and to get their lending journey, for it to be really clear in bite-sized information. What Wonga did was very clever with their technology. I would say there's some things that I think are really quite wrong about it, in that giving money, cash to people too quickly, 15 minutes into your bank account. I mean, I just can't think of a reason at 3 o'clock in the morning why you need £300 into your bank account. You know, it fueled a lot of things like online gambling and lots of other things, that there needs to be more thought within the lending process. You need to put in false breaks to make people actually think that they need this credit. There's got to be timeouts built into every lending journey. But actually, the use of fintech and what it has done, albeit taken quite a while, but organisations like us have got access to those comms tools. So we are 7 days a week. We are, you know, we have very slick comms tools. Our customers don't want actually to talk to us very often on the phone. They want to be able to, of course they do. But actually, most often what they'd like to do is to message us, and they want us to message back very quickly. And the fact that they are at the highest level of their financial capability, I might say, and I have to be careful how I express that, because I think my customers are really savvy, very switched on. They manage every penny because they have to. They aren't the most always able to read through all of their terms and conditions. So what we have to do is to make sure that the comms is clear and it's bite-sized and it's in the right information, but that it's also repeated. Mm. So what we try to do is to make sure that it's on email and it's on text. And then we also always have a call to talk through and make sure that that loan is affordable and structured in the way they want it.
And that's all from the Money Bites team this week. Remember to share the love and give us a rating. And why not subscribe for more? Goodbye.